That's a torch song. Okay, so I just have to tell you, I was gone last week because I was speaking in Amesbury, Massachusetts at Unity on the River. And you know how usually when I go speak somewhere, I come fleeing back here and tell you how grateful I am to be in this church because it's the best church in the world? They're close. This is probably the coolest Unity church I've found, meaning the most like ours. Except they're about twice as big, so they have a little more of everything. It's Ogun Holder's church. You all know him. He's spoken here a couple of times. And he is not leaving, and they love him. It's just, you know, and it snows 6 or 8 months out of the year. So I wouldn't really want to be there, but it was very cool. The music was spectacular. They had a four-piece band, a 10-voice choir, and then the music director was on vacation, so the sound man led the singing. And three times during the service, his name was Brian, he came bounding up the aisle, grabbed a guitar and strapped it on, and then led this incredible singing and then raced back to the sound booth. So, you know, since Kit's leaving, you are a musician. So just know there's a precedent for that. So as you know, the talks this summer are reruns that you chose by voting in a survey in April. And I wasn't surprised you wanted to hear this series again about the four domains of consciousness. I was surprised that it beat out The Wizard of Oz. So I first did this series right before Christmas in 2014, not even 2 years ago. And it got more response than probably any series I've ever done. And most of the responses were along the lines of, now I get it. I feel so much better. I use it as a lead-in to Christmas that year because at Christmas we celebrate the Spirit of God that's born into each of us just as it was born in Jesus. If God is all there is, what else could we be but divine? We are made of God stuff as much as the stars or trees or sunsets. And when Jesus grew up, he tried to tell us we could do what he did. He tried to tell us we're creators and our goal is to create the kingdom of heaven, at least within our personal universes and maybe for the whole world. But people wake up at different rates. And some are born more awake than others. So there are four primary spiritual levels of consciousness, or ways we express the divine. To me, by me, through me, as me. The ultimate level of consciousness is as me. That was Jesus. The infinite expresses as me. It's living in divine consciousness. It's a little tricky to talk about these four domains or levels of consciousness because they're only linear in the grand scheme of things. I mean, the spiritual path does arc toward living as a conscious expression of God all the time. But we have ups and downs, and we have to grow through each phase or level of consciousness. Most people start at to me. Stuff just happens. Then they learn something about co-creation, or call it the law of attraction. That's by me. My life is designed or created by me. That's great news at first, but after a while it can be exhausting. We get tired of trying to police every thought. So we surrender to let Spirit work through me. And then eventually, at the Jesus level, we simply are conscious spirit in human form. That's as me. Most of us are all over the map with these. To me, by me, through me, as me. Most of us touch all four states of consciousness throughout any given day. And you can even see Jesus expressing these different ways in the stories we have about him. But in the big picture, they are steps on a path. And we have to experience each one pretty thoroughly before we can incorporate and transcend it. They're realms of consciousness, they're points of view. So just know that this series will sound more linear than it feels in your life. To me, by me, through me, as me. I first heard these from Michael Beckwith. the New Thought minister at the Agape International Center in California. I don't know if it's original with him. But today, let's start with "to me." Everything happens to me. Things just happen. Life just seems to happen to me. I have no control or say in it. Maybe it's God's will. Maybe it's fate or destiny. Maybe stuff just happens. And I told Kit, it's ironic that I'm talking about victim consciousness on her last Sunday. Because I've had just a little self-pity about her leaving. Having her here just makes church so easy. I know the service will be great and people will leave on a high, no matter what I say. But as I told you when she announced she was leaving, there is no private good. This is good for Kit, and you heard last week about all her plans. So it will be good for the church too, somehow, and we'll see that over time, and it will be different. To me is unconscious living. It's the default setting for most people. It's what most of us were taught in some form. Life is tough, and then you die. At this level, we live with lots of complaining, ain't it awful, we're on guard for any slight, nursing old wounds, there's a lot of fear and blame. Not a lot of self-awareness, hardly any spiritual awareness. And at first I thought I couldn't get a whole talk out of "to me," because we know we're not victims, right? We don't fall into victimhood very often, do we? And then I started noticing my own victimhood. Other drivers. If I'm frustrated, it's their fault. They're doing it to me. Some speaker was boring, that's the speaker's fault. They did it to me. A movie wasn't worth the money, well, Hollywood did that to me. Rain, heat, weather can make us feel like victims. Any little thing that goes wrong. Our families often make us feel like victims. And if they would just be different, we could be happy. Or maybe you feel you're not paid enough. Or you're afraid your body is breaking down and the doctors don't know how to help. Or you really think the country is going to hell in a handbasket this time. That's all victim consciousness. The world is doing it to me. I have no choice and no part in it. A lot of people like to blame God. God sent this. God is testing me. Or even, the universe wants me to learn something. In the really painful periods of life, a death, divorce, illness, job loss, we sometimes ask, how could God let this happen to me? Victims of God. So if I passed around a mic, you could probably cite examples when you have felt like a victim. Many people have really convincing stories about how stuff just happened. They had nothing to do with it. They can't see any rhyme or reason for it. They were wronged, and it's not right, and it's not fair, and they are not letting go of it. And this is a common and understandable level of consciousness, probably for the majority of people. They live with that worldview, and we're all there sometimes. So in Massachusetts last Sunday, I was doing a workshop after the service, and a lot of it has the people working together as partners. And two women way in the back were partners. And after a break, one of the women just didn't come back for about 20 minutes. And the other woman was sitting there alone during the next exercise. So while everyone was working with their partners, I walked back there and I said, I'm worried you don't have a partner anymore. Do you know if she's coming back? And this woman said, I don't know, but this is perfect. I think of myself as a victim, and now I've been abandoned. She was kind of kidding and kind of not. At least she had awareness about her victim consciousness, and she said, I'm a powerful creator. Well, yes, from that to me level, you are powerful. So how do we get out of it? I think for most people, the first glimmer of awareness is that you can choose your reaction. And please hear this. Those of you who don't believe you're the creators of your experience, because not all of you do. Even if stuff does just happen, even if you do have to play the hand life deals you, you can choose your attitude toward the game. You can choose how to feel. Now, I tell you all the time, feel whatever you feel, and it might be anger or hurt or sadness for a while. Just remember, you have a choice. You don't have to worry about everything you need to do between now and the time school starts. You don't have to get mad again when someone pushes your buttons. You don't have to spend time and energy feeling guilty about the past or fearing the future, worrying about money or health or other people. This is huge progress in to-me consciousness, realizing you can choose your reaction even when you feel victimized. And it does happen to all of us. Maybe you are being buffeted by fate. Maybe you are sure you have no control over your life, but you do have control over yourself and your reaction. And we can take one more step out of to me by taking responsibility. Not responsibility for having created what happened, that's next week, that's by me. But for now, a way to stop being a victim is to take responsibility for yourself and your feelings. An easy way to do it is to make I statements. Claim your feelings rather than blaming someone or something outside of you. So that speaker was boring. Instead, you can say, I was bored by that speaker. That movie was awful. Well, that movie didn't appeal to me. You hear the difference? Claim, not blame. These are little things, but just notice them. Listen to your own language, and you will start to shift your consciousness out of to me. One time when I was in therapy, one of the many times, we were taught not only to make I statements, you know what an I statement is, when you did such and so, I felt this and that, but to go ahead and claim the assumption we had made as well. So, when you were late getting home, I felt hurt and angry, and then add, and the story I made up about that was that you're having an affair. This is hard to do, but saying out loud, this is the story I made up, reminds you not to be a victim, at least until you have more facts. You can take responsibility for the way you feel without blaming anyone or anything else or giving them power to control your life. Just as nobody can make you do anything, nobody can make you feel a certain way. You have a choice. Essentially, events are neutral. Whatever seems to happen to you is about you. So here's what I mean. Let's say you stub your toe. It hurts. You might be angry. You might be worried the toe is broken. But did it happen to you, or did you take a wrong step? The furniture didn't reach out and hit your foot. Maybe someone left their shoes in the middle of the floor, and you tripped on them, but you didn't see them. Maybe you have vision problems or balance problems, but still about you. It's not a test of your character from God. It's not punishment. It has nothing to do with what you deserve or how worthy you are. You took a wrong step. Take responsibility. And even though stubbing your toe is a silly example, what if that's true for everything that happens? If it hurts you, that's about you. If someone makes you mad, that's about you. If someone hurts your feelings, that's about you. They're not doing it to you. Your problem is your reaction. So take responsibility for how you feel about it. I hate this, by the way. I want it to be their fault and their stuff. It's being inflicted on me. It's being done to me. But I know if it bothers me, that's my stuff, because it might not bother someone else. So you see, they might really be doing something that I'm convinced is wrong or unfair, but my reaction and the power I give it and the degree to which I let it dominate my thoughts is entirely up to me. This is where forgiveness comes in. Forgiveness is a function of to-me consciousness. We have to forgive only when we have judged someone else to be wrong. So when we forgive, we take responsibility for our reaction to whatever it was. It's our reaction we have to release, That's forgiveness. It's changing how we think and feel about what happened. We can't change anything unless we're willing to take responsibility. That's how we develop from childhood to adults, with more responsibility as we go along. And it's also a part of spiritual maturity. You have to give up victim consciousness to move any further through these four stages. So now maybe you're thinking, that can't be true for everything that happens. Death, losses, those things we didn't see coming and we're sure we had nothing to do with. So, okay, let's say it just happened to you. It came out of the blue, you had nothing to do with it, certainly not consciously. Is it possible it could be happening for you? That somehow it's going to be for your highest good or your soul's growth. We all know times when what seemed to be a tragedy turned into something good. Our temptation to believe we're victims is because our human selves label events bad, wrong, unfair, tragic. But can you, in any corner of your mind, consider the possibility there might be good in this? And someday you will see the gifts it brought. You might never believe it was for the best. You might always regret how things turned out. But is there any glimmer of a chance you might also learn or grow or benefit in some good way? I've used this example before, but one of the best examples is the Emily Ann Theater here in Wimberley. Emily Ann was a real girl. She died in a car accident when she was 16. And her parents established the theater because she loved theater. It has become a community gathering place, and every summer, high school kids come from all over the country to do Shakespeare. Midsummer Night's Dream opened this weekend. That doesn't make Emily Ann's death good. And she didn't die in order for this theater to be established. But good came out of something that happened. So even if you will always believe something just happened to you, you don't have to be a victim. You can bring some good from it. Next week's talk is about "by me," which is being a creator of your experience. And that's not a new idea to most of you, but many people object when they first hear it and they say, you're blaming the victim. You're saying whatever happens is my fault. That's classic "to me" consciousness. That's why we have to give up the idea we are ever victims before we can move on. And this is hard. Bad things do happen to good people. At least they appear to be bad. Our society uses the word victim to describe any number of circumstances. Turn on the news and it's nearly always about what seems to be happening to someone. They're just innocent victims, and there must be someone to blame or sue. But no one can make you a victim, no matter what they do. Not if you take responsibility for your own choices and reactions. My father was an alcoholic, like a lot of yours. He got sober in AA when I was 10. But of course, that had an effect on my early life. Now, whether I created that at a soul level or chose my parents, that's a discussion for another day. Even if I believe that's just something that happened to me, that was some random luck of the draw, I can take responsibility for whether I'm a victim the rest of my life, for whether I see myself as permanently harmed. Or I can choose to see it differently. I can take responsibility for the mistaken beliefs I formed at the time, and I can work to change them. I know where they came from, but now they're mine. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die, and the choices we make are ultimately our own responsibility." This is the point where some people would say, "Yes, but my situation is different. You don't understand. It can't be solved just by taking responsibility." Okay, but when we say, "Yes, but," that's a clue we're hanging on to victimhood. This is practicing principle which is a term we throw around a lot. It just means we find practical ways to apply spiritual teachings. And today, it's by taking responsibility for our spiritual awareness. Am I really paying attention to my thoughts, beliefs, and feelings? My expectations? Am I walking around expecting good? Am I making an effort to stay connected to my higher self or the divine? Spiritual principles are worthless unless we use them. In fact, that's the fifth of the five universal teachings we emphasize in Unity. It's not enough to know these principles. You must live the truth you know. That's number five. In other words, it works if you work it. So I invite you this week to notice where you might be holding on to victim consciousness. Where do you see yourself as attacked or accused? Where are you just inconvenienced or annoyed? If you catch yourself blaming anyone or anything else, let that be a reminder to take responsibility. You have a choice, how to react, how to feel. Of course, other people will affect your life, but they don't get to decide what you will do or how you will feel. This work is just the first few steps toward higher consciousness. Toward waking up. Listen to what Rumi said about waking up. The breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. The door is open to begin this spiritual journey consciously. The door to peace, love, joy, faith. People are already going back and forth across the door sill where the human and the divine worlds touch. Leaving the consciousness of to me is your invitation into higher realms. Life is meant to be good. You only have to stay awake. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
So let's begin, as we always do, by taking a deep breath, fully in, fully out. If you haven't already, gently close your eyes, but do not go to sleep. In fact, energize your third eye as if you're focusing a laser beam. Visualize that brilliant white light just flowing in and also flowing out from you. Set the intention to stay awake, stay spiritually awake and aware. practice turning entirely away from the condition that is fueling your story. Releasing the yes, but. The yeah, buts. Noticing the yeah, buts. And even allowing that phrase that brings a smile to your lips. You can say, oh, yeah, but there's another one. And practice surrendering. Surrendering to the divine that you already are. The divine life that you were when you came into this life. With a purpose, with a place, with a voice. It is an enormous responsibility to be alive on this planet. Is really conspiring in your favor at every moment. So breathe that knowledge, the knowledge that you are already divine. You are an enormous gift to this world, to the lives of everyone around you, to the lives of people that you have not yet met. Part of your evolution is expanding into being that greater gift in the greater world. Surrender to your divinity. And know that all is well. You take the responsibility for knowing all is well. Despite appearances, there is good. So let's celebrate that goodness, that godness. Take a deep breath. Bring yourself back to this present moment in this room full of amazing, gifted people. Amazing.